You cannot separate sin and sickness. You cannot separate sin. We could even say sin is unrighteousness. You can't separate unrighteousness and sickness. So in order to understand how righteousness and health are related, we need to understand how sin and sickness are related. Sin or unrighteousness was the act or the source that produced the sickness, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, everything was fine before that, but their sin allowed Satan to come in and bring all of the curse and all of the torment of the world that we still have today. So sin produced sickness. We can say it that way. So you can't separate the two. It's a tree with rotten roots. It's got evil roots. It's a sin tree that produces everything that Satan brought into the world. And you know what? That's all it can produce. That's all it can produce because it comes from the life source of Satan that kills, steals, and destroys. It's its life source. It's rotten. It's everything evil comes through that sin tree and out the branches and into the physical realm. Now, before you were born again, you were engrafted into that tree, weren't we? You were in that tree. The world is still a part of that tree, cut off from all the blessings of God and all hope or confident expectation in God's provision for them. They are still attached to that tree. Sickness automatically comes on people of the world because they are part of that tree. But God, what did he do for us? He took us out from the authority of darkness. In his great love and mercy, he took you out from the authority of darkness, translated or transplanted you into the kingdom of his love, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of your sin. You're in the forgiveness tree. You're in the redemptive tree. You're in the righteousness tree. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? That means that everything of the blessing flows through you, flows through that tree and out into the branches. Jesus said he's the vine and we're the branches. Everything good, everything of God, all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his grace flows through the roots into you, the branch, and produces fruit. Does the branch have to do much for that fruit to be produced? It comes from the life of the tree. It comes from the life of the tree. And I think this is where we can get off in faith. And I did for many, many, many years. Where I got into such works and such condemnation because I wasn't seeing things working. If it's not working, it's not working for a reason. And we need to get before the Lord to find out why it's not working. If you are confessing and confessing and confessing the word to make something happen, then we've got it wrong. Because you confess the word because you're the branch where the fruit is growing. You are healed. You are righteous. You are joyful. You are at peace. You have all of the life of the vine flowing in you. And we need to keep that focus. Remember, faith is a well pump, right? So it's pumping out all of the nourishment of the tree into the branches. Let me ask you this question. Can an apple tree produce mushrooms? No. Can an apple tree produce Brussels sprouts? No. Do you know that it would be as unnatural for you to have sickness on you as it would be for an apple tree to produce fish? It's unnatural. It's not a part of that tree. If it's not a part of Jesus, it's not a part of you. This is where our thinking can be wrong. I truly believe that if we meditate on this long enough and let God get this deep, deep, deep into us, that we can actually live completely in divine health. Because how do we mostly think? And myself included, I don't have this all figured out. We think we can get sick and then we need to get healed. And we get sick again and we get healed again. We get sick again and we get healed again. But God's not in the healing business. He already took you out from that tree of sin and put you in the tree of righteousness. And the health is automatically flowing continuously to keep you whole and keep you healthy. Listen to Colossians 1:13 in the Passion Translation. Hang on a second. Just have to. Okay, Colossians. Okay. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, remember you're in the vine, in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. A constant release of redemption, redemption rights through his very blood. I love that. Doesn't that give you that image? Get the Passion Translation. It will just help. It will help with all of this. Righteousness is what gives you your right for everything that God gave you. It's your right to be healed. It's your right to be at peace. It's your right to be joyful. It's your right to have prosperity. It's your right to have everything that God wants you to have because he puts you in that tree of righteousness. You are in complete union with him. And we already said, everything of the vine is flowing in the branch. So you don't have to work for it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to work for it. How many people have been exhausted? I have, at times. Jesus did all the work. That's grace. That's grace. If you're focused on yourself and your faith, we're missing it. We need to be focused on Jesus and what he did for us. And that's just like when Moses held up the snake in the desert. Everyone who gazed upon it, and that was not just a quick little glance. It's a constant union and communion and looking at what Jesus did. And that's when we're going to see more results. Amen?
Yes.
Because that's when your confession is coming from the right source and the right perspective. Okay? It's what God did for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become my sin, so that I would be made, say made,
made
the righteousness of God in him. I would be made. I didn't do anything to earn it. And then Galatians 3 says what? It says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made the curse for us. It's the great exchange. He identified with your sin. He identified with all of the curse, all of the evil, all of the torment, all of the tyranny of the enemy, so that the blessing of Abraham could come on you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit that's within you. The Holy Spirit is the power source. So quickly, I'm just going to go through a few things because this is all through Scripture. You cannot separate righteousness and health. It's all through Scripture. And why we talk about these few little things, these last few minutes we have, I want you to imagine what we're talking about, okay? Picture it in your mind. Okay, let's think about Jesus healing the paralytic. Remember that account in the Bible? So the paralytic is before him. You've got the scribes and everyone there in the room. The healing power of God was there to heal them all. And what did Jesus say first to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. There was a reason for that. Now, the scribes got all ticked off and saying, who are you that you can forgive sins? And Jesus said, which is easier, to forgive sin or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? He was saying they're both the same because they come together. Rise, take up your bed and walk. So it's funny how they got mad about righteousness and sins forgiven. And now, nowadays, we don't even think twice about sin being forgiven. It seems to be such an easy thing. And healing sometimes, or divine health, seems to be so hard. Or people fight against it. And they will not believe that this is part of redemption. But it is all through the Old and New Testament. You cannot separate it. So he said, so that you will know that I have the authority to forgive sin. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Authority comes with your righteousness. That's where your authority comes from. They're both the same. Everything is connected. Do we see righteousness and healing the same? Do we see it easy and easy? If you had a scale and you have righteousness and you have divine health here, would it be equal? Or would it look like this? We have to believe that this is all the same. It all came together at the same time. When was the last time you got on Facebook and you saw a post that someone said, I need everybody to pray. I need all of the intercessors. We need to fast. We need to confess the word. And we need to believe God and storm heaven because Aunt Betsy sinned. Has anybody ever said that? But when it's sickness, we act as if it's so difficult. We have to storm heaven. We have to intercede. We have to pray. We have to confess. That's not how it is. It's easy peasy for God because Jesus did it for us. Amen. When the 70 returned, remember Jesus sent the 70 out? And then they returned with joy because the demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus. Does anyone remember what Jesus said? He said, "Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven." That's first. Your name is written in heaven. You're righteous. And then you can be thankful that the demons are subject to you in Jesus' name. Have you ever thought about this? That God actually gave us authority to say no to him. At any time, we can choose to say no to God, correct? How much more can you say no to Satan? If you can say no to God Almighty, how much more do you have authority to say no to the enemy? Just think about that. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Think about this from the way we've been talking today. "Surely he has borne our diseases and carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. First, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes you were healed." We are healed. Spirit, soul then, and then body. Full redemption of the full threefold man is right there in that verse. We talked about Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made the curse for us. If he identified with the curse, don't ever identify with the curse. He did it for you. You identify with the blessing. We don't identify with what Jesus took away for us. Okay, we want to identify only with the blessing. Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." What's the first one? "Who forgave all my sin." He forgave all my sin and healed all my diseases. "Redeem my life from destruction. Crown me with loving kindness and tender mercy, because he put me in the righteous tree. He engrafted me in." And then Psalm 103 goes on to say that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us, right? Then it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Well, if he removed the transgressions as far as the east is from the west, where they can't touch, so he removed the curse of the law from us also. As far as the east is from the west. Who can quote 1 Peter 2:24 for me nice and loud? Amen. That's what I want to hear. What we usually hear is, "By his stripes we were healed." That's all I ever quoted. I didn't even know there was 22 words in the verse before that. "By his stripes we were healed." Yes, but let's look back at why. "Who himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree." And I'll personalize it. "That I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." That's why. That's why. Amen. Not just because we say by his stripes we were healed and we're trying to make ourselves healed. It's because he bore your sin and took it all away. Paul told us to endeavor to see every man according to the spirit and not according to the flesh. It is really important that you do that for yourself. You see yourself only in the spirit, only where God has placed you. Don't let any other picture, don't let any other imagination come before your eyes. Cast it down if it's not aligning with what Jesus did for us. I want to challenge you in closing here. this is what I used to do, and I'm trying to make a change with this. When I would take communion, if I needed something in my body, you know, I would break the bread because Jesus' body was broken for my healing. By his stripes I was healed. And I would take it sort of like as medicine. Now, there might not be anything wrong with that, but how much greater would it be if we identified purposely, identified the body of Christ as us whole? You are the body of Christ, right? The church is the body of Christ. So rightfully discern the Lord's body and take communion as you are, perfectly whole, thanking him for it, not asking him to do something that he's already done. Amen. I believe we'll see more results that way. John G. Lake, we all know John G. Lake. I really believe he had an understanding, a rhema about this. When he quoted, when he held that plague in his hands and they watched those germs die under a microscope and the scientists were all amazed, you know, he quoted Romans 8:2, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free, or makes me free from the law of sin and death. There it is right there, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He wasn't quoting that to get healed. He was quoting that because he was whole, he was healthy, and he knew he would stay that way because he envisioned that that law protects him and that nothing of the curse could come into that tree of righteousness. Nothing of the curse could come into that tree of righteousness. Amen. I want to read you just one little thing out of, this is a great devotional. It's by Teresa Hoetling, and it's called Set Your Sights. And I didn't realize how much, now that I'm kind of trying to envision things and really get hope established in my life, that I see how much in this devotional where she's saying, look at, think about, imagine. And it's really a great devotional if you need anything in your life. But her very first page on January 1st, she quotes Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. The body, mortal means the body that can die. So that's the body we have right now on the earth. It's not our glorified body. He will give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Remember, it's a well pump. The Holy Spirit is the life source. The Holy Spirit is the power. Healing, God spoke this to me a while ago. Healing is not the absence of symptoms. It is the presence of my healing power, he says. We're always looking for the symptoms to go away. That's not healing. It's the presence of his healing power. It's right here. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that dead raising. Picture Jesus's body, the way it was crucified and unrecognizable from what they did to him. The Holy Spirit raised him up, that resurrection power raised up and healed that body, quickened that body. And that's the same power that's inside of you. So we need to envision that power radiating out of our spirit, in through our soul, out of our body, into other people. When you pray for other people, sometimes it's easier to believe that that power is for them. That power is in here. It's inside of you. It's the same power for you as it's for them. That's just something to think about and meditate on. That power is always there. And she says here, after quoting Romans 8:11, she says, imagine the Holy Spirit doing his work in the part of your life that needs healing. Imagine him relaxing muscles and restoring cells. Imagine him healing nagging emotional scars. Imagine him bringing your back into alignment. Imagine him obliterating the cancer trespassing in your body. Fix your mind on him today and imagining him doing all of this for you. That's hope. That's a picture of hope right there. Right there. Amen. I want to close with Philippians 4:13 out of the Passion Translation. This verse really has blessed me lately. So this is where Paul is talking about he knows what it is to be in lack and want and to have prosperity. And it says here, "For I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things." I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Oh, man. Hallelujah. The strength of his explosive power infuses me like an IV from heaven. Whatever it is that you have to envision, let the Holy Spirit help you envision it. Whatever it is, for whatever purpose, for whatever thing you're dealing with, let him bring you that image of hope. And then get on your face before God and let him direct your faith, and you will stand in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not tell Apostle Dale that I used paper notes. It shows my age. he was kidding me about that during Landmark, saying, "Where's your tablet?" But anyway, let's just end in prayer here. Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. Father, we're grateful that our names are written in heaven. We thank you that the demons are subject to us in your name, Jesus. We thank you that you took us out from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of your love. Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we know you better in these ways and that we know the hope of your calling. Father, help us to know the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints and that immeasurable great power that we know is working in us and towards us who believe. We praise you, God. I thank you for giving everybody here direction for their hope and direction for their faith as they seek you in the next coming weeks and months. And I thank you for the testimonies that are springing forth in Jesus' name that brings just joy and strength and just a refreshing, Father. We praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.